Welcome to the podcast series for AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Kara Hansel-Keehan. Today we'll discuss the article by Bat et al. Titled, Restoring Redox Balance Enhances Contractility in Heart Trabecula from Type 2 Diabetic Rats Exposed to High Glucose. This article published online December 5th, 2014. My guests today are Associate Editor Fabio Recchia, Lead author Sonia Cortassa, and content expert Ethan Anderson. Let's get started.
Thank you, Kara. The diabetic cardiomyopathy is characterized by diastolic and systolic dysfunction and profoundly altered energy substrate metabolism, consisting of impaired glucose oxidation and higher reliance on fatty acid oxidation. According to the current paradigm, the predominance of fatty acid utilization negatively impacts the diabetic heart function. Sonia Cortassa's group performed a study that challenges this paradigm. They employed sophisticated technologies to measure contractile function, oxygen consumption, and the reduction oxidation state in isolated cardiac trabeculae, as well as in cardiac myocytes, collected from Zucker diabetic fatty rats and control lean rats. They found that the long-chain fatty acid palmitate prevented contractile impairment and oxidative stress induced by high glucose in pathological tissue, while it caused opposite effects in control tissue. Even more surprisingly, insulin worsened the negative effects of high glucose by increasing oxidative stress. Sonia, please help us to understand and interpret the apparently paradoxical beneficial effects of palmitate in diabetic hearts.
Thank you, Fabio. In fact, it is not completely contradictory with respect to the results that have been reported in the literature, because in the normal non-diabetic rats, trabeculae, there is a negative effect of palmitate, whereas it's only in the diabetic phenotype and in the condition of high glucose where we have observed an improvement in the contractile performance. And this can be understood because the condition, the physiological condition in which these cardiac muscles are, determine their response to the palmitate. In fact, all that this can be understood if we take into account our current hypothesis about how the contractility is related to the level of the redox environment. And when I am talking of the redox environment that I will be mentioning along, I am referring to the level of the main redox couple in the cell, NADH, NADPH, glutathione, and thioredoxin. And in fact, we have observed that the lower ROS level, reactive oxygen species levels, are observed at intermediate levels of this redox environment. When the redox environment is reduced, or when it is very oxidized, the ROS levels are very high. And at intermediate levels, they are reaching a minimum that is not zero, but it is compatible with signaling functions that ROS perform, but it is compatible with a high energy output. What we interpret is that in the case of the diabetic phenotype, when they are working, and that is a very important quotation, because I mean it is important that the muscles are performing work, then under those conditions we observe that the redox environment is relatively oxidized, and the addition of palmitate, what would do is that it will reduce a little bit the redox environment, leading it to a minimum in the redox environment value.
Ethan, what is your opinion about these interesting findings?
Well, I'd like to pass my compliments along to the authors, because this group has performed this study in such a comprehensive way, using heart muscle under load, simultaneously measuring oxygen and internal cellular energetics, as well as ROS levels. There's very few groups in the whole world that can do this, and so it is very, very powerful, the model, the technique, and all of it. So I definitely want to pass my compliments along to them for that. It is somewhat contradictory to see effects of palmitate in a system like muscle or any cells, for that matter, where palmitate improves globally oxidative stress, or sort of reduces oxidative stress, but also improves contractility and energetics from a standpoint of oxygen consumption. If you think about what the Randall hypothesis suggests, in that the increase in palmitate in under any circumstances, whether it's healthy or diabetes, should result in a decrease in glucose metabolism globally, in a shift towards palmitate. And then what the other body of literature suggests, which is the sort of the feudal cycling of oxygen with palmitate, in that there's more oxygen consumed for a given amount of work, seems that it would be a little bit contradictory then that you would see such an effect in Zucker diabetic trabecula, where you have what seems to almost be an improvement in the force oxygen relationship with palmitate. You wouldn't expect that given the feudal cycling hypothesis. So my first comment would be that, and I wonder if Sonia could comment on, maybe have they seen what would be described as feudal cycling with palmitate under any circumstances? And if not, how possibly could they explain that?
I would add, in fact, that there is a limitation indeed, right? That must be pointed out, that you don't have direct measurements of palmitate and glucose oxidation.
Yes, in fact, we haven't measured directly oxidation rates, but of course we know that the cardiac muscles of diabetic individuals will consume increased levels of palmitate with respect to glucose. To answer Ethan's question, we haven't observed really uncoupling effects. I think that we have to take into account here that most of the studies that have been performed with respect to the Randall cycle has been done under euglycemic conditions, that is to say, under normal glucose. There are very, very few studies that have been done in their hyperglycemic conditions, and that is the condition of high glucose. I mean, we have 30 millimolar glucose, and those are the conditions in which we observe the difference between glucose alone and glucose plus palmitate. In glucose alone, there is an increased oxidative stress, and that's where we are now in our scheme of the reduced environment, of the redox environment. We think that the presence of high levels of glucose, it is leading the redox environment to more oxidized redox, and the presence of palmitate will shift that redox environment toward the middle. And I think I already said that. But the very important feature here is the fact that we are testing this in loaded conditions. I mean, these are muscles that are subjected to work. In fact, this is equivalent to the work in muscles. Most of the work that has been published have been done with Langendorf perfused hearts that are not performing any work because they have not a pressure against which they are pumping the blood or the perfusate. So this is a very important subtlety, and I think that the effect of palmitate or any other fatty acid will be a function of what is the supply of redox equivalents with respect to what is the demand of energy. And I think that this is the most important thing that we have to take into account.
Ethan, more comments?
I would generally agree with that especially the model, given that the muscle is under load and a continuous energy consumption being utilized here, is definitely something to keep in mind. And then the NADH being more reduced upon addition of palmitate definitely makes sense from many standpoints of energetics. Sonia, if I understand, then there is no greater levels of glutathione reductase or thioreduction reductase, those antioxidant enzymes in diabetic hearts, as you have observed, there's no increase or greater amount?
Yes, there is no higher level of protein because this was done from Western bloods. That doesn't mean that there is no increased activity because these proteins can be modified by PTMs or signaling pathways that will indeed increase the activity. We have observed that there is increased activity of scavenging activity of glutathione and thioredoxin because normally the mitochondria from diabetic hearts emit less ROS than the non-diabetic ones. However, when we inhibit those two scavenging systems, there will be increased emission in the diabetic case, indicated that there is increased activity, increased scavenging activity.
Just one comment is that we have done a similar experiment making mice obese with a high-fat diet, and we also see that their antioxidant enzymes are increased. Actually, we did it in rats, too. It may be that, in fact, it depends on models. And in fact, I'm glad to see that you have seen the same thing as we have, because in the field, most people report that the ROS production from mitochondria is always increased in the diabetic or obese insulin-resistant heart, and that's not the case.
Well, I would say that here, more than the palmitate, what is important is that the redox levels of the cardiac muscles is what determines their contractile performance. And if by whatever means we can take those redox levels to intermediate redox environment, the contractile performance will be optimal. And I think that this is most important whether that we'll do that with palmitate or with any type of drug or as we did in these experiments with a cell permeant form of glutathione. I mean, that is the main message of this paper. And I think that what we have to try at by all means is just to improve those protective mechanisms that there are naturally, for example, the overexpression of the antioxidant defenses in mitochondria, or if we can elicit those same mechanisms in cytoplasm. I think that that would have an important consequence for the cardiac function in the short and in the long term.
Thank you, Sonia. Thank you, Ethan, for this interesting and very informative conversation. Kara?
You've been listening to an AJP Heart and Circ podcast. For more podcasts, visit us online at ajpheart.physiology.org. Thank you.